now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everything going for you this week? Yep. Everything is going well on my end also. Listen, man, we are right here in it. Like, did it feel like Christmas time to you? We right here at football season. We got stuff to talk about. We got stuff to watch on Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Monday, you know, all across the weekdays. And it's here, man. And it's a bunch of exciting games that we all want to see. Everybody has a decent enough quarterback or a decent enough defense to where a lot of these matchups are very exciting and they're must-see TV. So no matter if you're a fan of this team or that team, you got to be in front of a television so you can watch your team. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to talk about some NFL. Of course, we right here in college football season. So we're also going to talk about college football. We'll get into all the news, all the notes, all the funnies, everything that's going on in the world of football this week. Let's get into it.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yo, y'all wild out here, dog. I'm going to be honest with you. Y'all are crazy. After 1 week of Jacksonville losing to the Houston Texans. Now, keep in mind, the Houston Texans, we all expected to be trash. Like, no one wanted to play for them. J.J. Watt left. Deshaun Watson wanted to leave. Then that stuff happened, and, you know, he got to hang around, you know what I'm saying? But no one wanted to stay in Houston. And we just assumed, you know, there would be a pretty good enough playbook or a good enough play calling, good enough play from Trevor Lawrence, from Urban Meyer, from the rest of the Jacksonville Jaguars, that we could kind of pencil in Jacksonville's first win, right? Wrong. No. They go out here, they lose to the Houston Texans, 37-21. And after that first loss, you should have seen y'all memes, all y'all's tweets, all y'all's laughing, all y'all posts. Everybody in their mama basically had Urban Meyer ready to jump ship and head over to USC. USC fired their head coach this week, and everybody pretty much slated that Urban Meyer would ease his way on over into Inglewood, California, and be a Trojan in no time. But what Urban had to come out and do, Urban had to come out and shoot it down and basically said there's no chance that he'd be in the running for that job. No chance he'd leave for that job. Keep in mind, he said that job. So just putting it out there. But he also goes on to say that he's here and he's committed to try to build this organization. This organization meaning the Jacksonville Jaguars. Me personally, I give this whole thing 2 years, and then you'll start to see the quote-unquote health problems. Then you'll start to see him eyeing whatever the next best job is in college football. If it comes up to be Notre Dame, if it comes up to be University of Miami, if it comes up to be Texas maybe as a move to the SEC, if it comes up to be one of those schools, he'd be out of there, man. Once he realizes that everybody has a good team in the NFL and it ain't no cupcakes, you don't play Vandy in the league. You understand what I'm saying? There's no Bowling Green. There's no Southern Mississippi. Everybody can play ball over here. So it was funny to watch y'all roast and make fun of Urban Meyer because I'm not a big Urban Meyer fan. We'll get into that a whole lot later if we haven't talked about it already. I don't remember if I talked about it on here, but I'm not a big Urban Meyer fan, so I literally was here for the pettiness. A big surprise in the NFL was Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers got out there, man, and you'd have thought it was his State Farm stunt double, bro. For real. Like, Aaron Rodgers got out there and looked like I've never seen him look before. And in the midst of looking as bad as he looked, he didn't look like he gave a damn too much. You know what I'm saying? He didn't look like he really cared that he was stinking. And I heard him say recently, I think it was either yesterday or today, today being Wednesday, that when he threw the second interception, he took a double shot to the nuts. And, I mean, I don't know about you, but take a couple punches to the nuts by some 300-pounders, I throw that shit away too. You can have it, dog. You can have it. But, and we'll get into it a little bit later, but I also want to see how he bounces back. Like, this isn't typical Aaron Rodgers. We all know that. It's not typical Aaron Rodgers. So I want to see how he bounces back and how the Green Bay Packers play from this point moving forward. Because maybe they thought it was a game. Maybe you can walk out here and you can just trot it out against the New Orleans Saints and believe, you know, without Drew Brees, you got Jameis Winston coming in and we can go ahead and beat the hell out of them. The DBs supposed to suck for New Orleans. All of these things, they were having all these issues. They had to cut Latavius Murray. All of these issues, you just think, okay, we Green Bay, you know, we big tough guys. We can come out here and roll the ball out and beat the Saints and then move on to week two. And that's where they were wrong, because the Saints came out here. Jameis Winston looked like he, hold on, looked like he had LASIK surgery. Matter of fact, Reese Boogie, hit the "I told y'all my bad" music. Just this one time. Just, we ain't done it in a long time. Hit it. "I told y'all my bad." I told y'all last year that I wanted to see what Jameis looked like without the having to squint, right? Because if you looked at Jameis when he was in Tampa Bay, every time he'd come off, he'd be trying to look at the scoreboard. And what would he do? He'd hit you with the side. He'd turn his head to the side a little bit, and he had to squint. So he went out, and he got LASIK surgery. And I told you I wanted to see what Jameis looked like once he realized that those dudes that was wearing, like, number 26 wasn't on his damn team. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to see what that would look like. I also wanted to see what he would look like in Sean Payton's offense. I think I told you, well, when I talked to Jarvis last week, when Jarvis and I chopped it up, I told you that having Alvin Kamara would be one of the biggest benefits to Jameis Winston. And it's still going to be pivotal. It's still going to be a big bonus for him, because I don't think he's ever played with anyone out the backfield like that, to where he can just drop it off and don't have to chunk it all the way down the field. And I told y'all that we see a better Jameis. And I had to get this "I told y'all" in before Jameis go ahead and start back stanking it up next week. So in the instance of moral victories, I have two. One, the Dallas Cowboys, who came out here, they took on the defending champs in Tampa Bay, and I personally thought, I didn't think they would get slaughtered, but I didn't think that they would hang with them like they did. I didn't think it would be a game to where it comes down to a field goal and all this other extra stuff. I didn't think it would be one of those type games. Game one, you know what I'm saying? I didn't think it would be that way. But it turned out it was that way, and Dallas has some confidence. And I think they got confidence in Dak. It assured me, because I didn't think Dak, you know, was fully healthy. But as much as they relied on Dak that game this past week, he had to be at least 90%, because they didn't do a damn thing with Ezekiel Elliott. I think they looked and they saw that they couldn't run the ball on Tampa early, and they just said, "Fuck it, we're just gonna go ahead and throw the thing." And so that's what they did. They put the ball in Dak's hands, and Dak was throwing that thing around the yard, like Jarvis was saying. He could throw it around the yard, and that's what he was doing. I didn't believe he was going to be capable of that, so I guess in terms of this same segment, you know, my bad. I didn't think he was going to be able to do what he did, but I'll say that was a moral victory, and I'm looking to see what Dallas can do going forward. Also, in moral victories, Cleveland, they may be pretty close to as advertised. All I heard preseason and coming into the season was how Cleveland was supposed to be this big, bad team. They had this big, bad D-line. That Baker Mayfield is pretty good. You got Odell Beckham, who did not play. You had Jarvis Landry. You got these running backs. You got all of this stuff, all of these weapons. And Cleveland. And you know me, I don't believe shit till I see shit. So Cleveland came out here and they gave the Kansas City Chiefs all they wanted. Like, legit. Now, I don't know how much stock I put into it, but it appeared, and I'll say it appeared because I'm leaning toward the Kansas City Chiefs side of this. It appeared that in the second half, Kansas City basically were like, all right, y'all ready? And they flipped the switch and they turned it on and they made it a game and they won the game. But if you're a fan of the Cleveland Browns, and you've been one of these dudes who's been on the Baker Mayfield hype train or whatever, and you want to say, see, I told you, you could say, see, I told you after this game, but we'll see what they have coming up. We'll revisit this in the next few weeks. Once again, I have to keep addressing this because I feel like it is an issue. Lamar Jackson, he fumbled twice. They lost the game. He said he was ticked off. He owned it. But what I'm going to say is Lamar Jackson was Baltimore's leading rusher. You understand? Lamar Jackson was Baltimore's leading rusher, and it's never a good recipe when your quarterback is the leading rusher of your team. And you can go through and you can tell me all the Randall Cunninghams. You can tell me all the Mike Vicks. You can tell me all the Cam Newtons you want to. And I'll agree, they were great players. They were good players. They were hell of a player in each and every one of their rights. But you can't name a championship with them. You can possibly talk about some MVPs. You can talk about some playoff runs. You can talk about all of these things, but you can't tell me about a Super Bowl. And that's where I'm at with this. That's where I am. Because you're not in the business of going deep into the playoffs. You're in the business of winning a damn championship. And the way that they're running Lamar Jackson had 12 carries for what? I think it was like 80-something yards. 12 carries for 86 yards. Right? Lamar Jackson had 12 carries for 86 yards. Tyson Williams had 9 carries for 65 yards. Latavius Murray had 10 carries for 28 yards. And y'all expect me to sit here and talk about or down this man for having 2 fumbles. He shouldn't be getting hit this damn much. And I'll be honest with you. I'll go ahead and put it out there because I had it for me to talk about later on in the notes when we get to it. But I watched a part of the Arizona game. And I see Kyler Murray running around and he's throwing the ball. I see Kyler Murray. That thing, they ran Kyler Murray for like 5 rushes, maybe 5 carries, or, you know, if you want to say the attempts. And I'm thinking that's how Lamar Jackson should be used. That's the type of offense that he needs to be in to where he can keep his head up downfield and he could still be able to use his feet to get out of the way to go to take off if he needs to. But A, he doesn't quite have the necessary weapons. I don't think they use, personally, I'm sorry, I'm going off on this tangent, but I don't think they use the tight end. They certainly didn't use the tight end enough for me against the Raiders. When they, like I said, they lost against the Raiders 33-27. They certainly didn't use the tight end. I think it's Mark Andrews. They didn't use him enough, in my opinion. He's a Pro Bowl tight end, and I don't think he caught the ball. I don't think he caught the ball at all. Oh, I'm sorry. He did. He caught the ball three times for 20 yards. So, still underused, but when you look at the whole thing and you go through, look at how they did in comparison to Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah, look at how the Raiders did when they had their guy, Darren Waller. Waller looked up. Let's see, receptions. Hell, he had 10 for 105. And I get it. John Gruden loves the dude. He loves the kid. He loves his story. He loves his effort. He loves his energy. I get all of that. But what I'm saying is, Baltimore, if you love your damn quarterback, get him some help. Sammy Watkins can't be the big star. He can't be the big name. He can't be the guy that you're going to lean on this year to get Lamar Jackson where he needs to be, back to the MVP status, to get y'all back to a Super Bowl. That ain't it. Damn, like I said, I had, you know, kind of planned some of that for a little later, but it's all good. You understand what I'm saying. I told y'all about Jameis. We got to check out Aaron Rodgers, see how he bounces back. Urban saying he ain't going nowhere. So, now, after all that being said, I know y'all looking at the radio, you're looking at your phone, your laptop, whatever it is that you're listening to the commissioner's conversation on. Like, commish, so you just ain't going to speak on your Falcons? And I'll tell you, hell nah, I ain't gonna speak on my Falcons. It ain't a damn thing to say. It ain't a damn thing to say. If you watch that game at all, that team looked like every other Falcon team last year. Like the same team I told you I checked out on last year. They couldn't stop the run. They had dumbass turnovers. They couldn't convert in the red zone. They had dumbass penalties. They can't protect Matt Ryan. And we were sold a bill of goods, and none of it produced. None of it produced. The coach, the tight end, some of these young linemen that we were patching up the line with, none of it worked. We can't tackle, can't do any of the things that are necessary to win a football game. And I've already said too much about the Falcons because I said I wasn't going to say anything. So let's move on to some of the games coming up this week that I find interesting, that I'm going to make sure that I'm watching this Sunday. I started off in Chicago. Chicago is hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. It's a 1 o'clock game. I want to see Joe Burrow against that defense, man. Joe Burrow looks like he has all the tools. Like, he looks like he is a franchise quarterback. He blew his knee out. He came back. And I want to see if he has the goods. I also want to see how long Chicago leaves Justin Fields on the sideline. I want to see if what they will do is continue to do that BS that University of Georgia was doing. Bring him in for a package here. Some of this option plays. And I want to see if they will at least give him a drive. I think the young man deserves that. Um, Yeah, but Justin Fields, I want to see how long he stays on the bench and or get some playing time. The next game is the Buffalo Bills going to Miami. And this game is pivotal because, I mean, once again, it's a natural quarterback matchup. You have Josh Allen. You got Tua Tagovailoa. You have two teams that are looking to go to the playoffs and trying to win the same division. So this game is going to be very important coming down the line. Like, the winner of this game is setting themselves up for what's going to be taking place later on in the year when it comes down to we need this W. We should have had that W. When you start counting the money at the end of the night, this is going to be one of those games where you're going to want to see where you were in the positive. The New England Patriots and the Jets and the New York Jets just squarely off of, I won't watch this game a whole lot. I won't spend a lot of time on it. What I will do is I'll watch a drive here of Mac Jones. I'll watch a drive there of Zach Wilson. And I'll see, you know, just how they're using them, how they're handling each other's defenses, because Coach Salah is a mastermind defensive coordinator. I want to see what kind of head coach he is, what kind of defense he's bringing with those Jets. And we all know about the Patriots defense. They'll throw some stuff at you that you've never seen in life. And I want to see if Zach Wilson can handle it. I want to see how he adjusts. I want to see how they protect him, if they can protect him. I want to check it out just real quick, just briefly. Philadelphia Eagles hosting the San Francisco 49ers. For nothing other than the fact that I want to see if Philly is real. I made a small bet with my boy and Falcons and the Eagles, and I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did because I always ride with the home team. I fell into it. He asked what we were going to bet. I told him we bet a 10-piece wings, and all I got was, at the end of the day, was a whole order of, like, the Thot Girl special of how he want 10-piece, honey hot, extra crispy, extra wet, peach drink, all this stuff. And I was like, come on, dog, for real. But I owe it to him. I'll pay up. And I knew I shouldn't have done it. But I want to see if that Philadelphia Eagles team that we saw this past Sunday was the real Eagles team. Or was it just the Falcons is a terrible team? I just want to see it. So I think this matchup against the San Francisco 49ers is going to tell us everything we need to know. Moving on, we have the Las Vegas Raiders going to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. I want you guys to keep an eye out on Big Ben, because later on this season, it's going to be one of my I told y'alls, and it's going to be one of my bads. Big Ben is running on empty. Najee Harris is going to protect him. That defense is going to protect him. But I'm saying he's Peyton Manning with the Denver Broncos right now. They might win something. They might get to the AFC Championship. They might. But it ain't going to be cause Big Ben. Keep an eye on it. Mark it down. Write it down. Take a picture. Some of y'all completed that fit. Next game. Minnesota Vikings go to Arizona Cardinals. I told you, I'm not ready to say just yet that I'm convinced on this whole Kyler Murray thing. I don't think that he's going to be what everyone wants him to be. And I could be wrong. So far, I am wrong, but I'm fighting this fight. I'm dying on this damn hill that he ain't it. But he's looking like it. You know what I'm saying? And like I said before, I told you guys earlier, I think they're using him like I would love for the Ravens to use Lamar Jackson. So if you get a shot, watch some of the game and you'll see what I'm talking about. Please tweet me at G Robinson Sports. Leave a message on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon and just let me know, say, you know, Commiss, you right. Or, nah, Commiss, you ain't in it on this one. I ain't feeling you. Let me know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've had people tell me on the show that I was wrong about Kyler Murray. And I'm holding firm. And so far, I got to tell you my bad. But I'm going to keep my eye on them as they take on the Vikings. The Vikings are a pretty decent team. I think they are going to be a pretty good matchup for the Arizona Cardinals. So if we're going to see whether the Arizona Cardinals are a fairly good squad, here we go. The Dallas Cowboys going to the Los Angeles Chargers. I like the quarterback matchup once again. You got Dak versus the youngin', you know what I'm saying, Justin Herbert. I want to see if this game the Cowboys decide to utilize Zeke. Do they put the ball back in Zeke's hands? Like I said earlier in the show, I told you, I think they realized off the muscle that it wasn't going down in terms of running the football in Tampa Bay. So they decided to say, the hell with it. We're gonna throw the ball. We're going to make some of these short passes and use that as the run game. We're going to use some of these wide receiver screens and use that as our run game. And get the ball out of Dak's hands. Let him get comfortable. Let him get a rhythm. And then try to let him carve up the Tampa Bay defense as much as possible. And he did. He did. They just didn't win. But I think the Chargers are a more winnable game. And I also think that Justin Herbert can, on the other side, come out here, especially with DeMarcus Lawrence out. DeMarcus Lawrence is out with a broken foot. He's set to miss 6 to 8 weeks. Also, the Cowboys are probably going to be without their second best DN also, and Randy Gregory. Randy Gregory is in the COVID protocols. I'm not sure exactly what happened, if he has COVID or just came in contact with COVID or whatever, but coach didn't sound like Randy Gregory would play. So both defensive ends, their top two defensive ends, are not going to be there. So now that Justin Herbert might not be under as much pressure. So I think this is going to be another one of those shootouts. This might be a similar score or a similar game to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. We shall see. Keep your eye on it. That's why I've marked it as one of the games to watch. A couple more games. Look, I honestly realize I put more games down than I actually intended. Because I only really thought I was going to do five, but I've gone well past five now. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I went all the way to 10. Why not? We'll keep it rolling because we already at like 7. Tennessee at Seattle. Derrick Henry had like 58 yards last week, man. And I don't think that's going to sit well with the Tennessee offensive coordinator. I don't think that sits well with Derrick Henry. And we'll see what Seattle does to try to hold him to that number. You know what I'm saying? I also want to see the dynamic this whole thing play out between I can't remember the head coach's name right off the bat, but I want to see it play out between him and Julio Jones, because there was an incident. There was an incident in terms of Tennessee Titans, 3rd and 1, I believe it was. They run the football. They actually get the first down, but Julio is one of these old school throwback receivers, latches on to the DB and drives him down the field. Now the DB doesn't like it. The play is over. Tennessee has the first down and the DB is like, get off me. You know what I'm saying? He kind of, you know, does one of those little shoves, like, get off me. And Julio doesn't like it, so he shoves him back. Well, the referee sees Julio shoving back, and as soon as he's shoving back, he throws the flag. 15-yard penalty, personal foul. Julio Jones. And all coach did was come out there and tell the press that that's what he considers dumb shit. And yes, you're right. I'm laughing because I'm petty. But I'm also laughing because I know the atmosphere here in Atlanta. And even had that happened here in Atlanta, we'd be giving all every excuse in the world for Julio Jones. We'd be talking about how he plays to the echo of the whistle, how hard he plays, and that's just the type of guy he is. He's such a workman and blah, 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 blah. That now he's, and he decided to leave. He decided to leave a place that protects him as opposed to a place that doesn't give a shit about you. You're just another player. And so I don't know how much he's been practicing with the team. If he's practicing like he was in Atlanta, he's not practicing hardly any. I don't know what's been going on between the dynamic between he and the head coach. So I say that to say that you thought the grass was greener. You wanted to go someplace else. And here, we'd have made every excuse in the world for you. So be careful what you wish for. I want to see that dynamic. Do they draw up plays for Julio? How does this work? So I want to check out the Seattle-Tennessee game, and I haven't even gotten to the whole Seattle thing. Let Russ cook continuously. The matchup for me this week, this is the matchup for me, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs going to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. Like I told you, it appeared that against the Cleveland Browns, Kansas City just flipped the switch. They decided they were ready to play football, and they decided they were ready to win, and it wasn't really anything that Cleveland could do. Now, on the flip side, you could tell me Cleveland got relaxed, Cleveland, you know, whatever, whatever. But I've seen Kansas City do that. Can Kansas City do that against Baltimore? Also, keep in mind what I tell you. I keep talking about watch the offense with Lamar Jackson. We know what the offense is going to look like with Pat Mahomes. Watch the offense with Lamar Jackson. Watch how many times they script a run. You can tell that it was a called run from the sideline versus the fact that the pocket just broke down and Lamar Jackson had to get out here and scramble. And lastly, I want to check out the Green Bay and Detroit game for no other reason than the fact that I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is going to have two trash games back to back. And I believe he seems pretty nonchalant in the media, but I know the competitor that he is, and I'm sure that it's eating away at him. So I'm looking for him to carve up the Detroit Lions real nice to the tune of, I will say, if I had to put the over under, I would put the number at 3.5. 3.5 touchdowns. Do you think Aaron Rodgers, once again, tweet me at G Robinson Sports, Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers will have more or less than 3.5 touchdowns? Week one NFL is in the books. Did you go kick it with your fellas this weekend to watch some of this football? If you did, I hope you showed up with a bottle of Greenwood whiskey. Greenwood whiskey is celebration whiskey and encourages you to celebrate life, to celebrate love, to celebrate togetherness, and just celebrate each other. Celebrate being outside. Celebrate football. Because this is that time. This is the time you go out, you be with your loved ones, you be with your friends, your family. It's hot outside, but not summertime hot. It's just hot enough that you can get outside, watch the game on the back deck, and enjoy some Greenwood whiskey on the rocks. Greenwood whiskey. It's celebration whiskey. So by now, we've all seen about what? Couple weeks of NCAA football, and we can kind of note as to what we think the Final Four would be like. I can give you a Final Four right now, and I may be off by like one team, but I won't do that this time. What I will do is I'll just go through some of the things and just tell you what I see in terms of who had some hype, who people were looking at, who people were talking about, and what I think about them. I'll start off with the number one team in the land, Alabama. Alabama is still Alabama. I mean, we watched them destroy Miami to the tune of like, I don't remember, but they beat the shit out of them in week one. They just carved up Mercer 48-14. I think the Miami score was pretty similar to that. But like I said, 48-14 against Mercer, it's Mercer, right? The real test is going to be, can they do it this week against Florida? And currently, Florida is what, like number 11? But where Florida is falling short to me, if you're going to ask me where Florida falls short is, Florida's over here juggling two QBs, man. And you can't juggle two QBs when you finna go out here and play Bama. You just can't. You can't go out here and talk about, oh, we got this guy and we got a young guy. Nah, dog, you got that machine coming in and you better be tight, you better be right, or you're going to get your ass blown out tonight. You like that? I just made that up. That was freestyle. I do this sometimes, you know what I'm saying? But you got to have all your ducks in a row. And it's you have to be ready for Alabama or else you're going to get your doors blowed off. Now, looking ahead at Bama's schedule, they have some big games. But I don't think they'll slip. They have some big games. Well, like I said, Florida could be a test. Ole Miss could be a test. You know, you got Lane Kiffin out there who can put up some big numbers with his offense. Texas A&M could be a test. Texas A&M is highly ranked right now, like number 5, something like that. They could be a test. We could see Arkansas is out here. Arkansas is ranked like number 20, 22, something like that. And they ran up and down on Texas. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But I'll move on. I will say for the next team, I'll go to the number 2 team in the land, UGA. How about them Dogs? I've gone on record with everyone I know to basically say that UGA should be a championship contending team and they should win the national championship this season. It's laid out for them, in my opinion. When you look at the schedule, if they got past Clemson, the rest of it, it's not really a cakewalk because it's the SEC, but they're all winnable games. Georgia will probably be favored in every other game that they play from here on out to the SEC championship where they'll fight the machine. Yeah, I'm still calling Alabama the machine. So all the way to the SEC championship, they will probably be the favorite. And from what I've seen, their defense is going to allow them to be the favorite. Right now, you're playing South Carolina. I heard Stetson Bennett got hurt in practice today. We don't know the outlook of JT Daniels. You know, it could be something there as they play South Carolina. But what they need to do, in the words of my boy Gavin Davis, is turn around and hand the ball to those 4-5-star running backs and go up and down the field on South Carolina and let them Dogs eat. And, you know, they looked great offensively, but it was UAB last week. And like I said, now, do you really have a QB? But looking ahead to the Dogs, October is going to be their gauntlet. October is going to be whether they're going to be big dogs or whether they're going to be little dogs. And I say that because they face, like I said, Arkansas. Arkansas is currently number 20, I think. They got Auburn. Auburn is like number 22, 23. Kentucky, for some reason, Kentucky always plays UGA pretty damn tough. I mean, when you think of Kentucky, you don't think like, oh, man, we got to strap it on today. But they always, at least for a couple quarters, you know what I'm saying, UGA is in for a dog fight. You know what I'm saying? Sorry about the dog fight reference. I keep putting the dog stuff out there, and I'm talking about UGA. But you'll be okay. And then they also have Florida. So if Florida comes out and Florida loses to Alabama, I don't know Florida's rest of Florida's schedule right off the front, but It could be a beatdown Florida, or it could be a very confident Florida when you get to Jacksonville. And we'll see. So, once again, I've gone on record saying UGA needs to be right there fighting for a national championship this season. Don't be almost. Don't be talking about we out here, oh, we're going to go to the Sugar. The Sugar ain't good enough. You need to be playing for it all. I guess I'm going down the list. Oklahoma. Man, Oklahoma's going to slice through the Big 12. Go ahead and put them in the Final Four. They're one of my teams that I would pick. You know, when I told you at the beginning of this conversation that I could predict the Final Four, and I don't think I'd be off, Oklahoma's going to be there. I also ask you, as football fans, as college football fans, if you got friends that are Florida State fans, check on them regularly. Please, make sure they're okay. Call them. Give them a hug. Let them know it's going to be okay. You know, because they're not quite right, man. Everybody thought that the nose was, you know, that their arrow was trending up when they had that beautiful loss, so to speak. This is why there's no such thing as moral victories. When you have that beautiful loss against Notre Dame, and everybody was like, well, shoot, they fought hard and they did this and they did that, and Florida State is back. Nope. This week they came out here and got their ass beat on the last play by Jacksonville State. Fans losing their mind out here, man. They can't believe it. You 0-2. You lost to an FCS school. And we'll just see, man, if Florida State can bounce back against Wake Forest. But like I said, man, if you know somebody and they always hollering about Golden Knowles and they tomahawk chopping and doing all this, check on them, bro. Let them know you're there. A good game that I saw, I had the pleasure of watching. Oregon went out there and out-physicaled the Ohio State Buckeyes. How often do you hear that Oregon went out here and bullied Ohio State? Now, my question is, Ohio State that good? I mean, is Oregon that good, or is Ohio State a fraud? Because at the beginning of the season, Ohio State might have been one of those teams I might have told you to go ahead and pencil in. Because I said put Ohio State in with pencil. I'm telling you to put Oklahoma in. Pin it. Ohio State, I would have said pencil. But we'll see. We'll see what Ohio State is. We'll see what they're not. They got a little gauntlet coming up. You know, Big Ten schedule is actually trash now that I'm looking at it, up until the time where they play Michigan. And switching over to the Ducks, their schedule kind of trash too. I will say this, the University of Texas got a bit of a feel on what the SEC life was like, huh? You want to join over? You want to cross over? You want to get in on some of this action? Yeah, Arkansas went out there and they ran for about 300-400 yards, damn, about 300 yards on them. It's 40-21. And I believe they still handing the ball off scoring touchdowns, dog. Like, just going to be honest with you. And I told you a week ago, I wish I could start the music back over. I told you a couple weeks ago when we talked about Texas coming back to the SEC. I told you this Texas-Arkansas thing, it used to be a game, dog. It used to be a little rivalry there. And Arkansas is looking forward to it because Arkansas believes they're better than you. You just happen to be the one with the money. And if we can go out here and beat up the one with the money, then we can get some more eyes on us and maybe we can get some of that money. We can steal some of that money. But it's going to be a pretty decent rivalry. Texas, I don't know if Texas ever gets back to being Texas. Vince Young, Texas. You know, all those, and the quarterbacks that came before him, Major Applewhite, all those dudes that came before him, I don't know if they get back to that level. Because Texas just seems like once they started this whole network stuff, it just seemed like they were just content with getting money. And if we get to a national championship, then cool. But guess what? We bit bad Texas, and we counting this bread. Also, I want you to keep an eye out on UCLA. I want to see how they move forward, you know, after they beat LSU a couple weeks ago. And keep in mind, that's Chip Kelly's UCLA. So if you're looking at it, you're like, damn, that's a good-looking offense. It's Chip Kelly, man. He's their head coach. So I gave you a little bit, like I said, a little, once again, like I did with the NFL, I gave you a little forward look. I gave you a little backwards look. I gave you a couple things to keep your eye out on. I gave you a couple things that you should know. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of, you know, pique your interest a little bit here or there. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I want to thank you for tuning in every week. I also want to thank my sponsors, Greenwood Whiskey. I also want to thank my sponsor, at 323 Custom Apparel. At 323_custom_apparel. Make your clothing your statement. Show up to the game with your son's name on your back. Customize your jersey. Customize your t-shirt. Customize your hat, shoes, whatever. Show up to the game with your statement. What you want to say. You number one, put it together and have my people at 323 Custom Apparel make it come to life for you. All you got to do is go to at 323_custom_apparel and make your clothing your statement. Again, thank you. Thank 323 Custom Apparel. Thank Greenwood Whiskey. And thank young DJ Reese Boogie on the ones and twos, keeping it tight, keeping it sounding smooth. And until next week, I'll holler at you.